Chapter 4. Nero. If I knew that smashing up a car would get me to spend time with a guy like Kendall, I would have a long time ago. Staring into his eyes did something to me. All I could think about was kissing him. I wanted to slide my fingers into the hair behind his ear, pull him to me, and press my lips on his. Hey, did you end up finding your phone?
No, I had to get a new one.
That sucks.
Yeah.
I'll have to give you my number so you have something to put it in. Kendall looked at me with a suspicious smile. I can text you the details of Saturday's game. He stared at me adorably and then gave in.
Sure.
Standing in front of him exchanging numbers, I thought about all of the things I could do to him instead of saying goodbye. I didn't do any of them. Staring at him, my heart raced. I felt alive when I was with him. It was like the weight of my past was lifted. Deciding to wrap my arms around him and never let him go, he stuck out his hand.
It was good meeting you, again,
he told me professionally. Oh, yeah, it was good seeing you, I told him before shaking his hand and walking away still tingling from talking to him. After a few steps, I couldn't help but look back, so I peeked over my shoulder. I caught his gaze. He was looking back too. A rush of heat washed through me. When he quickly turned around, I did the same. He clearly wanted to keep things professional. I could respect that, though I definitely didn't want to. I wanted to do things to him that I barely dreamed of doing with another guy. Before seeing Kendall at Cage's graduation, my feelings for guys had been different. I imagined us spending time together and me holding on to them as we slept. Maybe we would go skinny dipping, or maybe we would get naked and he would give me a massage after a hard game. But I wanted to kiss Kendall. I wanted to strip him down and push my hand over his naked flesh. I wanted his dick in my mouth. I wanted to taste his cum. I wanted to roll him over and remove all the distance that separated us by pushing my cock into his tight ass. I wanted to hear the noises he would make as I entered him. Thinking about it, I immediately became hard. It happened a lot when I thought about Kendall. I didn't know how I was going to keep my head in Saturday's game, knowing he was going to be there. One thing for sure was that I needed to have the best game of my life. I needed Kendall to see me on that field and realize that he didn't want to keep things professional. Once he did, I was going to pull him into my arms and everything would be perfect. Heading back to my room to relieve myself of the tension that had built up, I entered and was surprised to find it full of people.
Cage, Quinn, what are you doing here?
The two looked over at Titus.
I'll give you three some space,
Titus said, quickly heading for the door. Still feeling charged from my time with Kendall, I had to hide the bulge stretching across the front of my pants.
Hey, bro, you have a second to talk?
Yeah, what's up?
I agreed, getting nervous.
You guys aren't about to tell me you're breaking up, are you?
Both of them looked at me shocked.
God, no. Things have never been better between us. Why would you go there?
I don't know. Things have been going so well lately that I figured something would screw things up.
Things have been going well? Didn't you smash up a car less than a week ago?
Yeah,
but things have gotten better.
That's good, Gage told me before looking over at his silent boyfriend.
So, things have been going well with us too. In fact, Quinn and I were thinking about taking things to the next level. We'd like to move in together.
I thought about what he said. The only reason I was able to attend school was that after graduation, he moved to Snowtip Falls and was looking after our mother. For the last 8 years, that had been my job. But Cage, who was working as a football coach for the local high school, was living with her in our mobile home. It was the arrangement that made my new life possible. I looked at Quinn.
You want to move into the mobile home?
Not exactly,
Quinn said, looking at Cage to explain.
Quinn was thinking about buying a house in Snowtip Falls. That way, he doesn't have to stay in Dr. Sonia's bed and breakfast when he comes for the weekend.
So, you want to move out of our place? Who's going to take care of Mama? Are you expecting me to come back and do it?
I asked, feeling a clench in my chest. I was enjoying my new life, especially now that Kendall was in it. I wasn't ready to give it all up.
No, that's not what we're trying to tell you, Cage explained. We're telling you that Quinn is thinking about buying a house where we could all live. Mama would have a room. You would too.
I could even get something with four bedrooms so that we could have somewhere for guests to sleep when they visit. I'm sure my parents would want to visit at some point. We're going to need enough space for them, too.
So, you're just going to buy a 4-bedroom house so you two have somewhere to hook up every other weekend? Must be nice. I didn't mean to be a prick to Quinn about how rich he was, but as a guy who had to do some fucking awful things to survive over the years, it was a tough pill to swallow. Don't be an asshole, Nero. He's offering us somewhere to live rent-free. Aren't you tired of living in a place with no privacy? I mean, how did you even have girls over when you were growing up? The walls are paper thin. I didn't have girls over, I told him, not mentioning the main reason I hadn't. As much as I was into girls, the feelings I had had for boys had always messed with my head enough to force me to keep my distance from them. I'm sure I could have been with one of them if I wanted. There were plenty of girls who made that clear. And the fact that I didn't act on any of those opportunities just added to my anger. I couldn't get myself to be with girls. I couldn't get myself to be with guys. My mother was lost in her own world. I didn't see a way I would ever be loved. That really fucked me up. Well, if you have a bedroom with a real door, maybe you could. I looked over at Quinn. He clearly hadn't mentioned the hints I'd been dropping about my feelings towards guys. I knew that Quinn had picked up on them. The guy was literally a genius. The way I understand it, his parents did some sort of procedure to artificially conceive him, and it made him one of the smartest people in the world. So figuring out my closeted ass had to be like reading a pop-up book for him. You guys coming to my game on Saturday? Cage flinched at my change of topic. Of course. The person they assigned me for that anger management program they put me in is going to be there too. He doesn't know much about football. Do you think you could, you know, explain things to him? I just don't want him to be bored to death. I want him to have a good time. No worries. We got you. How's the program going, by the way? I was a little nervous about it, but it might work out, I said, thinking of Kendall. You seem happier, Cage pointed out. After he said that, I realized I was smiling. Maybe. We'll make sure he has a good time, Cage agreed. What's his name? Kendall. As soon as I said it, I felt my cheeks heat up. They stared at me like my feelings for him were written on my face. Okay, yeah, we got you, Cage said with a smile.
Don't worry about a thing, Quinn said, telling me that Kendall would be in good hands.
Texting Kendall about his ticket, he replied with a simple, thank you. I was hoping for a little more. If he was still into me, wouldn't he have at least wished me luck on the game? I remembered what he said to me the night of the party. Drunk Kendall had made clear that he wanted me. The same was true when we met up on Sunday before he found out I played football. But maybe that was no longer true. That motivated me even more to have the game of my life. I had to win him over. The only thing anyone ever liked about me was what I did on that field. I was going to get Kendall to like me. Thinking I would be distracted entering the stadium for the game, I was wrong. I had never been more focused in my life. Titus, who's a bench warmer on the team, tried to talk to me. When I ignored him, he got the message and made sure I had my space. Staring as our defensive team started the game, everything slowed down. I could see where everyone would move before they got there. So when I took the field with the offense, I looked into the quarterback's eyes. Immediately, he understood.